Welcome to the Sportscast, June 10th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Tonight, Game 5, pivotal Game 5. Kevin Durant comes back for the Golden State Warriors going up against the Toronto Raptors. Will that make a difference? Will that help out Golden State? We'll find out, and maybe Justin Riley can tell us about it. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Man, I appreciate you having me on this Monday evening, right before the presumably biggest game in the NBA Finals. Man, I feel like I'm lost here. This isn't college football season. What are you doing having me on talking about basketball?
We'll be talking about college football because something just came out in news today.
Okay, good.
People are discussing it, but of course, you know, you can handle some NBA. Finals, of course, you've been following a little bit. But tonight it's a big game. I think Kevin Durant is clear to go. He was cleared to questionable yesterday. Today he's clear to play because I personally think they're making him play tonight because they have no other solution to beat the Raptors. You think?
Well, I have to agree with you because at this point, this is the do-or-die situation. But you got to ask yourself the question, just how much of an impact can Kevin Durant be? Because to be honest with you, I mean, he's been out this long for a reason. And that calf injury isn't something that just necessarily, you know, heals up real quick. I mean, unless you have, you know, Wolverine's healing factor. So it's just what kind of KD are we going to see? Is he going to be able to actually be somewhat productive, or is he going to look like a walking zombie like Boogie Cousins? That's just the questions we're going to have answered. And to be honest with you, if Clay was 100%, Clay Thompson was 100%, I'd say they don't need KD at this point because I feel like the Warriors are more like the Warriors when it's the Splash Brothers run the show followed by the incredible cast of role players.
The big impact that I do see is that if Durant does play, and I don't know how many minutes he'll play, but he can cover Kawhi Leonard. Do you think that will put a stop to it?
Well, the thing is, can he cover it? Because we don't know at what percentage he's healthy. You know, Kawhi's playing at an extremely high level, and Kawhi's not hurt. You know, he's able to be explosive. His mechanics are there. His mental focus is there. And I just don't know if Durant, at whatever percentage he's at, is going to be able to keep up with it. I think in theory it does work, but there's just so many questions that we have to have answered. And I think about midway, probably through the second quarter, you're going to see if in certain amount of lineups really going to be worth their time and the effort, but you got to try. I mean, this is the last moment. This is the last hurrah. The Warriors don't get it done tonight. That's it.
Now, also for the offense, Durant should if he puts in 20 points, that should help the Warriors, don't you think?
Well, it does add some extra scoring. It just there's something that comes up to my mind is, you know, how athletic is he going to be, and will that allow him to get the separation he's going to need to score those points? And I'm not talking about just getting to the free throw line. I'm talking about making some field goals. So can he do it? I don't know. But yeah, having those extra points from somebody other than Steph Curry, and God bless him, he's doing everything he absolutely can. I mean, the man almost scored 50 here recently. But I mean, when it's just him and not another person, it's just a very hard thing to do. Klay Thompson is playing better, but with a hamstring, it's really tricky. It's not something that just heals quickly and allows you to be at full throttle. It's something that's got to heal over time. If Klay Thompson's 100%, then we're not even talking about this right now. But we also need someone like Andre Iguodala to come up big. You know, for the most part, he does not have to be the guy to do that. He's just been one of those solid role players that can come up at you know, spot moments where you need him. But I don't know if he's able to take on that guy role, if that makes sense. And I certainly don't think that Boogie Cousins can, let's just face it. Boogie Cousins is not that guy. He's not going to be a Michael Jordan-esque. No, I'm not comparing him to this guy or that guy. He's not that guy that you know, think about in NBA lore 10, 20 years down the road. I just don't think that he's that guy. So where are the points going to come from, I guess, is the ultimate question.
Yeah, I think obviously Boogie has to put his part. I think like the whole team has to put a full effort. I mean, like you were saying, Steph Curry scoring 47 points wasn't enough.
Not at all. And it's really just sad to see the state of those guys out there, like Boogie and Clay. Clay, I mean, I pass a little bit. He is playing more fluid and more athletic. But good Lord, Boogie Cousins looks like somebody from The Walking Dead out there at times. And it's just downright pitiful. But, yeah, Steph's got to have some help. And, you know, there's some guys coming off the bench that are providing some quality minutes and some points. But there's some young guys who just aren't ready to take on that role of hero yet.
Yeah, I totally agree. Speaking about Jordan, Kawhi Leonard's play has been amazing. Some people were comparing him to Kobe or Michael. Do you think he's definitely, you know, lifted his style of play this past couple of games?
Well, he's had to pick it up because he understands now that he is that Kobe type, that Michael Jordan type. In order for his team to ascend to the next level, and that's winning a championship, he's going to have to play at that level. And just kudos for the tremendous job and that he's done and the maturity he's shown. Because going into this season, you really didn't really feel like he was that guy, you know. And there was some drama surrounding him. There's a lot of negativity coming in, but it seems that he has shed all that and shed the negative days of his youth and has become a different player, or, you know, a hero of sorts for his team. I'm not going to compare him to Jordan. I'm not going to compare him to Kobe. I'm not going to compare him to LeBron. I'm going to say he's Kawhi Leonard. He is becoming that alpha leader that his team needs to win the championship.
You know, sticking with the NBA, Tony Parker retired at 37 years old today, and he mentioned that, you know, why keep playing where he has no chance of winning a championship. What are your thoughts?
Well, I completely agree, man. You got to understand, this is a guy that has played on a high level since he's entered the league, and every Spurs team that he was a part of, you know, they were contending for the title. I mean, they were in the playoffs every single year, and it was very rare that they fell short of the conference finals. I mean, I don't think they really started descending from that stage until the later part of his time there, when, you know, he was starting to get a little bit older. But this is a guy that is used to competing for something more. And then he leaves that environment and goes to a place that just quite frankly doesn't. And it's just really hard to get motivated and to get up every day and just to, you know, give the 150%, especially at the NBA age he is. And, you know, he's about our age about right now, but NBA years, that's like being 50 years old. You know, the body's banged up, you know, it's taking this toll on him. And so the why is inserted in there. If he's not playing for a championship, if he's not competing for something more, why continue to go through that hell, you know?
Yeah, Tony Parker definitely in some memorable moments with the Spurs. He won, I don't think he won five, like all the five championships. I think he won four, but definitely had a great career. And I remember it was between him and Speedy Claxton for the starting point guard position. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, Tony Parker is a truly amazing player. He's a guy that you'll remember for a long, long time. And what he did in San Antonio. I guess you're on my mind while I'm talking about this.
That could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Anyway, yeah, that could be a great thing. But no, I mean, the guy was just absolutely just a work of art to watch.
Yeah.
And I was just truly, truly powerful seeing what he did on the court. And, you know, when he wasn't doing it in the NBA, he was competing, you know, for a gold medal with his country. So it just didn't stop, man. It's a relentless competitor, incredible team player, just nothing but positive about him his entire career. And that's what you want. But yeah, and then he gets over there and he's not quite the guy anymore. And, you know, he's having to compete for that starring slot. And, you know, that just kind of, you know, puts a little, downer on you, if that makes sense, because you're used to being the guy, you're used to competing for titles, and then it just all of a sudden, overnight, just changes. So it takes a little something out of you.
We'll switch the switch to college football this morning. Texas A&M defensive back Derek Tucker was arrested and charged with assault after hiding over tacos. He was released on $5,000 bail. What do you think about Derek Tucker?
I want to personally thank him for just giving us something we have never seen before in sports news, and that was assault due to taco fighting. That's incredible. The words just can't come to my mind to the level of insanity this is. I mean, I had to do a double take when I'm looking through the news this morning, and I see that. I'm like, no, but this has to be scripted. Somebody has to be joking. But man, this is just beautiful. But on the other side of that, are you freaking kidding me, man? I mean, how ridiculous of a person do you have to be to get in an altercation over food? Well, I mean,
wonder where the tacos were from. Was it Taco Bell or local?
Well, I certainly hope it was worth it. I hope it was better than Taco Bell. I mean, my Lord. I mean, they're 50 cents for a reason. Anyway, I just feel that it better been an upper echelon restaurant of some kind. And, you know, it better been like for the last taco on Taco Tuesday. But I just think the whole thing is absurd. And to get in trouble over something like that and to, you know, put a negative spin on your football team. Come on, man. I mean, I get college kids are going to do dumb stuff. Just don't do dumb stuff that's going to get you arrested. But we in the sports media, we appreciate that. Look, that was high-quality entertainment, brother.
There was a article on 247 Sports this morning about 10 teams Alabama has never faced but should. And, of course, Oregon Ducks was mentioned, Boise State Broncos, Navy Midshipmen, Purdue, Oilermakers, Iowa Hawkeyes, Pittsburgh Panthers, Air Force Falcons, and so on. Obviously, their opening game is not going to be tough. It's going to be an easy one.
Yeah, which is kind of odd for Alabama because typically Nick Saban picks the more stellar opponent to open the season up with. And, you know, until this past season, actually, Louisville wasn't the first choice for us to play. We were originally supposed to get something squared away with Central Florida, but Central Florida declined that invitation, so we were stuck with the Louisville Cardinals. So we had a field day and had a great opening game, and welcome to college football, everybody. It's Tua Tagovailoa. But, yeah, this is kind of uncharted territory for Nick Saban, opening up with a seemingly weaker opponent. So I think maybe some of this stems with the fact that Alabama has gone through a slew of injuries the past couple of seasons, and maybe it's just an attempt to possibly keep some players safe in the early going so that they can last the gauntlet of the season, which is the SEC, and the SEC schedule this year is going to be quite a tough one, you know. So I'm not sure of the thinking on this, but I know for the people outside of the Alabama nation, they really want to see Alabama play somebody with meat and substance to them. And also, too, they want to see Alabama go down. Let's just be quite honest about it. But this is something completely different. And like I said, those are my theories. I think that maybe it's just to keep some guys healthy in the early going so that they can go the distance this season. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting because they typically have like a big national TV game for Alabama openers. I think they had Michigan last year or the year prior. And
we had Michigan, we had Wisconsin, we had Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech was relevant.
Yeah, really tough.
Yeah, it's been somebody that everybody would turn on their TV sets to see because it was something worthwhile.
Yeah, that's something to, you know, sometimes you can't have the toughest games. Sometimes things are contractual. There's years ahead where you have a contract to play Texas A&M or something. Well, not Texas A&M, but, you know, some big school. Here's their schedule. I know this is like in June, but, you know, why not look at it now? They got Duke. They got New Mexico State, South Carolina, Southern Mississippi, Mississippi, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, WCU. I'm not sure what school is that one. And Auburn, of course. They're always played last. So, yeah, it looks like a medium to a good schedule to me, but we'll see what happens.
I think the last school you mentioned, if you didn't know quite who they were, I think they're one of those Salon Institutes or something. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, they're Western Carolina Catamounts. So it's one of those teams like Mercer. And
yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're good in FCS. But,
they always play the easiest scrimmages right before Auburn for some reason. So.
And we always tend to allow that team to hang around longer than they really should. And it makes everybody in the Alabama Nation nervous. And we start cussing on our TV. And then we go to church the next day and ask God to forgive us.
Big Alabama recruiting news this week. Nick Saban and company landed commitment number 19 on Sunday morning as DeMoy Kennedy announced his decision to roll with the tide after having a standout performance at camp on Saturday. The four-star linebacker from Theodore, Alabama, says it came down to Alabama or LSU. Don't know if you know much information about him.
I don't know. It's pretty big, to be honest with you. I am pretty excited about that. But what really caught my eye last week is someone we do not have a commitment from yet, and that is one of Deion Sanders' kids.
Yes.
He took a visit this past week in Tuscaloosa, and unlike his father, he plays quarterback.
Right.
Quite a talented kid, and I got pretty excited when I saw him come through Tuscaloosa, and giving us something to possibly look forward to. Man, I would love to see primetime in Tuscaloosa. So that really caught my eye more so than the linebacker commitment, which, you know, I should be more excited about that. But, you know, that's what caught my eye, so that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, which we don't know if he'll be starting. Well, he won't be starting next year, but or 2 years or 3 years from now. But there's a lot of, you know, Tua's brother, he's also in the mix already, so it's going to be quite challenging.
Well, yeah, the cupboard is definitely not bare because we've got quite a list of players at quarterback, at wide receiver, at running back. So effort to try to convince another kid at those positions to come in, it's going to take some pretty amazing convincing on Saban and the coaching staff's part to get that player there. So, I mean, it might be tough sledding for us, but a good problem to have, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I've never seen Alabama with a deep quarterback bench, so it's for sure looking very positive.
And this is be honest, some of those guys, more than a lot, they probably won't stay there for the long haul, just because, you know, they don't want to sit there on the bench and not do what they came to do, and that's a start and achieve higher dreams and expectations, and maybe when they get to the NFL. So you probably see a couple of those guys defect and enter the all-powerful transfer pool. But, you know, that's what we'll have to see, you know, come the end of the season.
This past weekend, David Ortiz, he's a former Boston Red Sox slugger, was shot, but he is fine after doing surgery. A person came out from the street and shot him in the back and went through his intestines and I think to his liver, but he's doing well. And the Red Sox sent their plane to the Dominican Republic, and I believe with doctors and they might, you know, take him to Boston to get treated. So it's a quite, I mean, it's a quite sad story, but I think he's doing fine.
It is, man. It's a pretty powerful story, man. Jeez, wow. I mean, Big Poppy. He's, you know, all of a sudden we hear that his life is hanging in the balance, and it's just unfortunate because, you know, he's just down there. I believe that he was at some kind of circus or some kind of event, you know, like for kids or something. I forgot what I read, but, you know, of course, somebody probably knowing who he is and knowing he's got a lot of money, they want to come and they as a robbery attempt. And unfortunately, it felt led to possibly, you know, try to take his life. And fortunately for Big Poppy and his family and the whole Red Sox nation, he's going to be all right. And, yeah, I believe the Red Sox are going to be flying him back to get some further attention from medical experts. So, but glad to hear he's doing all right, man. That's just, man, that was a close call. And it was kind of tear-jerking at one point because his brother was with him, I think, at the operating table or somewhere in the hospital. And he's with doctors and everything. And he said that his brother said that, he turned to the doctor and said, "Please don't let me die. I'm a good man." I was like, man, that was tough. But it looks like the good man is going to make it through. Thank goodness. So the prayers were heard.
Yeah. Doctors say he's out of danger, but he's heavily sedated and will be in intensive care for the next 24 hours. So he'll be okay. He's 43 years old and, you know, big legend at Boston, of course. Here's some more college football news. Terry Bowden to assist Clemson staff as intern. The former Auburn and Akron coach Terry Bowden will assist Clemson's football staff as an unpaid intern while he pursues a graduate degree at the school. Howden, 63, is enrolled in a graduate program for the athletic leadership at Clemson, a spokesman told ESPN. Howden spent the past seven seasons coaching Akron, where he went 35-52 before being fired in December. Do you remember Terry Bowden?
I certainly do remember Terry Bowden because, you know, my team played against his Auburn squad for the better part of the 90s. Wait, this is real?
This is ESPN front center headline. Like, he's going to be an unpaid intern for Clemson.
I wouldn't pay him to coach anything anyway. Good Lord. I mean, it's a funny thing. His brother Jeff was actually the coach at Clemson before Dabo was named the head coach. It's pretty kind of crazy, ironic how that worked out. But that's interesting. That's something to take a look at. It's kind of like he's like the Uncle Eddie of college football, who just kind of appears at the family gatherings every now and then. You think he's kind of gone for a while, then all of a sudden he comes back again and you're embarrassed he's there.
He comes around.
I just compared him to Uncle Eddie, although I think Uncle Eddie is a little bit less embarrassing than old Terry. But I'm not really sure what he's going for here, but hey, why not? Get your graduate degree, you do whatever you want to do. I mean, he's got the money. Why not? So I'm not really sure what the end game is here, but maybe he wants to be associated with the winning program. Yeah. Well, he picked a good one.
And probably help out Clemson win another championship. We'll see.
I don't think it's going to be because of him, but that's a good thought anyway.
Anyways, anything else before we head into game predictions?
Let's see. What else is going on in the sports world right now? Training camp news. If y'all didn't see my article here recently, up in Boston, since we're going to stick with Boston here, former Tide running back Damian Harris is actually showing out right now and turning the heads of the coaches. He's proving himself to be quite versatile. Coaches are really loving the fact that he can catch the ball very well out of the backfield and has been very very good in the passing game, working with Brady as well as backup Jarrett Stidham. And that's something that the Patriots did not really have other than from White last year. Michelle exactly wasn't the best of the catchers out there. And they need someone, an extra set of hands, because of the fact they don't quite have the depth they're accustomed to at wide receiver. So it's going to be interesting to see where Damian Harris fits into the offense this next season. And from what they're saying, it looks like he's going to have quite an extensive role. So Alabama fans, that's something to be excited about.
That's quite interesting. Minicamp begins next month?
Yes. They had the OTAs here recently, and they had a three or four day mandatory mini camp. They wasn't the big mini camp. So, but excuse me, Damian made the best of what he had. Interesting note: Sonny Michelle was out and not participating due to some kind of undisclosed reason, and Damian had the bulk of the workload, even more so than some of the veterans that were there. So that's kind of an interesting thing to follow along.
There you have
as
it.
As we move forward towards the preseason.
Preseason's coming out. College football's coming out. We're all prepping for it. It's only 2 months away, I believe. About two months. A little bit more than 2 months.
Can't get hit quick enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I'm ready to see Terry Bowden do things. No, I'm kidding.
All right, let's head into game predictions. Let's start with hockey. Who do you have? The series is tied 3-3 between the Bruins and the Blues. The game 7 is in Boston. Who do you got?
People still watch hockey?
People still watch hockey. I'm watching a little bit, actually.
Watching a little bit?
Just a little bit. Let me
highlight some. I'm sorry, hockey fans. I can't help that the AAF got more viewers than you did. Ooh. And so does WWE, AEW, women's softball. Okay, I'm sorry, I'll stop. Anyway, I'm sure we just lost a whole demographic right there with that little comment.
I don't think we have ever had any hockey fans approach us.
So we're good.
As far as I know. Unless they want to, you know,
okay, cool.
Watch reruns.
All right. So, all right. Let me get my ADD on control here. I think Boston's got it.
Go ahead. Oh, Boston.
Okay. Yeah.
That was a quick sneak. Yeah, Boston's gonna win. Type of thing. Type of answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Boston. They play on Wednesday night. The reason why we're predicting it today, because you won't be here tomorrow or Wednesday. And finally, tonight, the big game, the Golden State with Kevin Durant versus the Toronto Raptors. Game 5.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to go with what I want to happen. And I want Golden State to win this game tonight because I want this to be a series. You know, I don't want to see I'm not a Golden State fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't want to see the quote unquote Golden State legacy be tarnished and come to an end with a resounding thud tonight. Because their team, this and no fault of their own, has been injured. I just don't want to see a champion go down that way. You know, we didn't see the end of the Bulls dynasty that way. We saw them go out full strength. No one beat them. They went out on their own terms, had everybody healthy. They were able to win those titles year after year, you know. And it's one thing to for the legacy to come to end when you're at full strength, and it's another thing for that legacy to come to an end when things just aren't right. And things aren't right. And let's just be honest, man. Once this is all said and done, a month down the road, if they do lose tonight, there's some serious doubts about the Warriors being able to retain some of these players.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to see it come down to that, you know?
It comes down to tonight.
it does come down to tonight.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is – the Raptors are just they're I'm not trying to take anything away from them. They're making the best out of a situation that is in their favor.
Right.
They've got the players to do it. Kawhi's playing at a high level, so is Siakam. And I think they should do it. Now, what they got to do is put it away in the first half. What their formula has been for the past several games is in the first half, they tend to let the Warriors stay within arm's length and striking distance, and they're never quite out of the game. What they got to do is just kill that wounded animal early and then just finish it and claim the title. The only thing that I just really hate about this, other than what we just talked about, though, Santiago, is some people, a lot of people may unfortunately put an asterisk by this championship should Toronto prevail. And I don't want that. I don't want that to take away from something that's so special. You know?
Yeah. Reminds me back. Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, kind of reminds me back in 2004 when the Detroit Pistons beat the Lakers, but people were talking about, wow, how did the Lakers lose the series? You know? So this is very similar where it's like, you know, the Warriors wasn't all there. They weren't 100%. It was just Steph Curry and of course, Clay and KD were injured. So what if they were 100% healthy? It would have been different, of course. But, yeah, it's definitely will put a cloud on the Raptors. Like, oh, they won because it just everything favored for them.
And you just don't want that, man. I mean, you want the Raptors to establish themselves an incredible legacy and a foothold in the history of the NBA in a positive way. You don't want the what-if scenarios to associate every conversation, you know, from here forward about this series.
Yeah. So who do you got tonight?
Okay, I'm sorry. My rambling just went on because I guess I was trying to, you know, be like Tom Rinaldi, who gives those great little mini movies on ESPN. Anyway, I am going to will the Warriors to win tonight.
Warriors win tonight. I'm going to choose the Warriors. I mean, KD, he'd probably be very rusty tonight, but if he can get 20 points. I think the Warriors have a good shot. So, you know, Warriors have come down, have come back from a 3-1 deficit, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that was a couple years ago, which I think they could do it again. But we'll see what happens. And random question:
all eyes are watching.
Who has had a better career, Tracy McGrady or Andre Iguodala?
Man. I got to go with T-Mac, man. I just think that he was able to accomplish a lot more. Are you going basically like statistic-wise? Are you going, you know?
That's up to you.
What?
It's up to you.
About the body of work. Come on, man. Don't do this.
Because we're looking at Iguodala, who had an NBA, you know, had an NBA Finals MVP. And, of course, he's won 3 championships. McGrady has neither. So it's quite interesting.
It's a hard, because I always love McGrady's game. I just hate that he never had the opportunity to win a ring, brother. It's tough not be able to see him do that. It's kind of like, you know, Charles Barkley never got one. Karl Malone never got one. Oh, man, I got to go with Iguodala, man, because he's done it all on every level. And he's got the rings. He's got the individual accomplishments. I just think he's the total package, you know? Yeah, that's my answer. Andre is my guy. Iggy.
Yeah, Iggy is my choice as well. And we'll see if he comes up big tonight. Justin, how can people reach you online to talk to you about Alabama's schedule?
Well, please pick a different topic because it's laughable, really. I'm not ready to quite take on the Alabama haters this early, but I will be glad to engage in some intelligent conversation. But anyway, you can find me running the Sportscast Twitters site for probably about 95% of the time, and that's at the Sportscast One. I operate the Sportscast Instagram account, same handle, at the Sportscast One. You can find me on both of those, and I also will operate our Facebook account as well. So you got three opportunities there to talk to me, but also my personal account on Twitter and Instagram, at 121 Training. That's the number 12, one spelled out, training. So I can be found in a variety of ways. So if you miss me, you're not looking.
And there you have it. Of course, follow us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be following the NBA Finals throughout tonight. And, of course, if it goes on, Game 6 will probably be on Wednesday, if I predict, if not Thursday. Yeah, follow us on thesportscast.net with college football news, some golf going on, Women's World Cup. We'll probably talk about it a little bit. And, of course, there's always going to be more stuff coming along for us. Anyways, that's the end of our show. Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you, man.